я уже знал.
For me, it's good to be here. Not often do I get to come, a couple few times a year. But anytime we can gather together in the Lord's name is a good time. And with the cold weather, we all get tempted sometimes to say, well, yeah, you know, they'll be all right without me. But the church is here. In order to feed us.
Amen.
In order that we may have that fellowship with one another that one day we're going to have in its fullness with our Lord and Savior and with each other. And though the Spirit is willing, sometimes the flesh is weak. And we need to be reminded as we pass through this world of the grace of God bestowed upon us, of the things that we have to look forward to, not just in this life, which we do have,
right,
but also in that life to come, and the promises that God has made to us as His children.
Yes.
So I have some scripture that's come upon my mind I want to read in your hearing, and ask you to pray for me, and we'll see how the Lord leads here.
Amen.
It's found in the Ephesian letter, the second chapter, the Apostle Paul to the church at Ephesus says, "And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved.
Amen.
And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding richness of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved, through faith,
Amen.
And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them."
Amen.
As we gather here this morning, and think about the love that God has for his children, and of the blessings bestowed upon us, which we so many times take for granted as we pass through this life. And the Apostle Paul is reminding the brethren there at Ephesus, a Gentile church, "And you hath he quickened,
right,
who were dead in trespasses and in sin." And when I think about that, most anyone who's part of the what would be considered to be the Christian world would say, yes, I was dead in trespasses and in sins. But many times we don't stop and think about just how deep in that we were.
Yeah.
And he says, and you have he quickened. In other words, he made you alive.
Yes.
He caused you to be born of the Spirit. He spoke life into your heart and soul and made you a new creature in Christ Jesus. Amen. Who were dead in trespasses and in sin.
Right.
Not just a little bit sick.
Nope.
Not just a little bit under the weather. Not just needing a little help or hand up, but rather the very life of God is what we needed, because we were dead to things that were spiritual.
Yeah.
We were dead to things that are godly. We were dead to God Himself and cared not for Him at all. And in fact, by nature, we were enemies of Him.
Amen.
If He presented Himself to us, we would have rejected Him. If He promised us all kinds of good things, we would have said, nah, we don't need any of that.
Right.
If He had said, I've got great things for you, He'd say, well, I'm doing just fine like I am. Mm. That's who we were. We don't like to think about that.
No.
And we don't like to acknowledge that part of our life. And I say this, whether you remember that time in your life or not, is immaterial.
Yeah, exactly.
In other words, John the Baptist never remembered a day that he didn't love the Lord.
Right.
Because he leaped for joy in his mother's womb at the sound of Mary, who was carrying our Lord and Savior in her womb.
Amen.
And so John the Baptist never remembered a day in his life that he didn't love the Lord. That may be your case. It may not be your case. I don't know. But here's the thing. We were all dead in trespasses and in sins. We were all alienated from God. And we were all contrary to God and hated God in our very heart and soul and being. But He quickened us who were dead in trespasses and in sins. He says, wherein in time past we walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience.
Correct.
Among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh,
right,
fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. You know, there's no such thing as somebody being a little bit worse sinner than the next person.
There you go, brother.
A little bit further away from God in their natural state. We were all like that.
Yeah.
We were all without hope. We were all without desire. There was nothing in us to long after God.
Right.
That's the corruption that came from Adam way back there in the Garden of Eden.
Correct.
And I've said this before and I'll say it again. You know, we like to blame Adam sometimes. Say, if Adam hadn't eaten that forbidden fruit. But I'm going to tell you something. If we were better than Adam, we'd live better than Adam. And the truth is, we don't. He was a partaker in sin. Yes, he was. But aren't we?
Amen.
Even after being born of the Spirit, aren't we?
Yes.
Don't we slip? Don't we fall? Don't we come short of the glory of God?
Amen.
Yes, we do. We were dead in trespasses and sins. We all walked according to the course of this world, not knowing any better. According to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. And we all had our conversation in the lust of the flesh and fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. And it says, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Now, that's the Apostle Paul puts it pretty clear right there when you stop and think about what he said. That you and I were by nature the children of wrath, even as others.
Right.
Not by the sins that I have committed, not by the sins that I have omitted, but by my very nature, a child of wrath, even as those who don't love God and never will love God. but God.
There you go, brother.
You see, we were the children of wrath, even as others, but God.
There you go.
But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us. He wasn't waiting for us to come around. He wasn't waiting for me to pick up.
Straighten up.
Get a little understanding.
Couldn't do it
is right. But he could.
Amen.
But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins. You know, brethren, even when we were dead in sins, and even when we hated him, and even when we knew nothing of him and wanted nothing to do with him, he loved us with the great love wherewith he loved us.
Amen.
Yes, even before we lived and existed here on this earth, he loved us from eternity past and promised to send his son Jesus to come and to suffer and die on the cross of Calvary in our room instead. Why? For the great love wherewith he loved us. When we were unlovable, when we were contrary to him, when there was nothing about us that God should love us at all. Even when we were dead in sins, he had quickened us together with Christ. By grace, you're saved. You see, this isn't about getting born again, as many would say, deceived into that train of thought. This is about the God of heaven having a people that he loved from before the foundation of the world coming and quickening them. And that comes to each one of us whenever it's pleasing in God's sight.
Absolutely.
Sometime between conception and the grave, it's going to happen.
Amen.
Some may live to be a great age. Some may be born of the Spirit in their mother's womb and never remember a time they didn't love the Lord. But that doesn't mean it's not true.
Right.
But there's never been a time when the Lord didn't love us.
Correct.
Did you ever think about that? That before the world began, before sin was here, God knew you and loved you with the great love wherewith he loved you. And not only did he send Jesus to take away the sin debt in order that hell, we might be delivered from a burning fiery hell, he also quickened us. He made us alive in him that we may have fellowship with him even now while we walk here on this earth.
Amen, brother.
Born of his Spirit.
Amen.
In the inward man, the soul of a little child of God, with the life and the righteousness and the holiness of Jesus Christ. That's what it means when he speaks life into your heart. The reason we struggle so much is that even being born of his Spirit and even having his righteousness in us, created in him, this old body is still dead.
Yeah.
In trespasses and sin. And the life that's a part of this body itself is still sinful.
Right.
And contrary to God. And that's why we struggle as we travel through this life. Should I? Should I not? How do I overcome the things that are there? How do I serve the one true and living God? As the Apostle Paul said, what I would do, I don't do it. But what I wouldn't do, what I hate, that I find myself doing. He said, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? He said, I thank God through Christ Jesus, my Lord.
Amen.
Who's delivering you every day?
Yeah.
Whether we're acknowledging it or not, whether we're understanding it or not, the deliverer is not you and me, it is the Lord.
Amen.
And yes, there are blessings that come when we're obedient to the things that God has given us, to the very best of our ability,
But that's not wrought of debt. That's not something that God owes us, because anything we do always falls short of what the perfection of God would be, because it's being carried out in His dead body. You see, God is the deliverer. And He blesses us, as has already been said, as we have need. And who knows better what I need and what you need than the God of heaven? I mean, there's a reason why He chose the people, because if He was waiting around for those to come to Him that were the cream of the crop, there wouldn't be anybody come.
Correct.
There's a reason why the gospel message isn't a means to eternal life, because there's nothing in man to receive it
Right. Without
the new birth and the blessing of God upon us.
Correct.
But it's a great message once we're born in the Spirit. Yes, we were dead in sins. He loved us then and have quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. It's not grace plus what I did.
No, sir.
Or grace what the church did or the preacher did or anyone else. We are talking about by the unmerited favor and love of God upon His people, we are saved. In eternity will be that place of heavenly bliss, that Beulah land we sang about.
Right, exactly.
And He's raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. You know, there's a reason why we long to come here and be here today.
Amen. I agree.
Because God hath raised us up together.
Right.
He's given us that want to.
Yeah.
To hear more about Jesus. To see more about Jesus. That we may learn more about Jesus. And you know what I learned? The more I learned about Jesus, I learned just how much I don't know. Just how much I don't know about the Son of God who walked the seashore of Galilee and at the appointed time went on the cross and died for me and for you personally. Bearing our sins in His own body on the tree.
Amen.
More about Jesus, what I know, than anyone else.
Yeah.
More of His saving grace bestowed. He's raised us up together above the cares of this world to seek after spiritual things. That in the ages to come He might show the exceeding richness of His grace and His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. You know, the worst thing that can happen to a church, any church, is when it starts being about us.
Yeah.
When the service becomes about
right
us.
Enough.
When the preaching becomes about right us. When all those things become about us and it's not about the Lord anymore.
Amen.
Remember John the Baptist? You know, our Lord had His disciples baptizing, and more people were coming and less were coming. And they come to John and they said, you know, He that was with thee beyond Jordan, He's baptized and all men come to Him. John said, a man can receive nothing but unless the Lord gives it.
Yeah.
What did He say? He must increase, I must decrease. And that should be the way that we live our lives and strive, that it should be less and less about us
And
more and more about Him.
Amen.
Every day of our life. And I don't know about you, but I struggle a lot with that. There's a lot of old self that stands up sometimes and says, aren't I somebody? Don't I mean something? Well, I'm telling you, you meant something to the Lord, or He wouldn't have sent His only begotten Son to suffer and die on the cross in our room instead. That in the ages to come, He might show the exceeding riches of His grace and His kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. Remember that the blessings of the Father come to us through Christ Jesus. He says, for by grace are ye saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God.
Right.
Now He's talking about right now.
Amen.
He says, for by grace are ye. You know, before He said, For by grace ye are saved.
Correct.
And we're delivered from the law. All of that's taken away. But here he's saying, for by grace are ye saved through faith. In other words, we're saved as we pass through this world through faith.
Amen.
By faith, we know that the world was created by things, by that which does not appear.
Exactly.
By faith, we understand that the God of heaven is God and he's the one true and living God, even though many times we don't want to admit that. By faith, we can see past the vanity of this old world and into the spiritual things of Christ Jesus.
Amen.
By faith, we can follow after our Lord and Savior. As the old hymn writer said, Jesus, Savior, great example.
Yeah.
Pattern of all purity. I would follow in thy footsteps, daily growing more like thee.
Amen.
You see, faith isn't intended to get us into heaven. Faith is intended to get us through this life. To cause our minds and hearts to think above the vanity that we see in the world and even in ourselves. To look above man and mankind and to see the Son of God in the greatness of his glory.
Amen.
And there's a saving in that.
Absolutely.
There's a deliverance in that as we pass through this life every day.
Amen.
And how does that come? It comes by grace.
Amen. That's exactly right.
It comes through faith.
Yeah.
But it comes by God's grace to us.
Grace be to you.
Comes through faith. And that, not of yourself.
Amen.
That isn't the kind of faith that like one man has and another in his natural ability. That isn't just confidence that something will work out okay. We're talking about the faith by which Abraham understood that the Lord was God. That he followed him and left the only world he had ever known and went out into a land which was promised to be his descendants, which he would never see in his lifetime. Who was willing at the asking of God to take his son Isaac and offer him there on the altar. When you think about the love that a father has for his son, it's just unthinkable. And this wasn't some figment of Abraham's imagination.
No.
He knew that God had asked him
to do it.
But not only that, Abraham knew that Isaac was the promised child.
Exactly.
Abraham knew that the Messiah was coming through his family, through Isaac.
Absolutely.
And so all this didn't make any sense in a natural sense.
Right.
But God said, do it. And I'm going to do it. And so Abraham went on up there, and he took Isaac up there, and he bound him, and he laid him there on the wood, and was ready to slay him there, because God had asked him.
Right.
Now Abraham knew that Isaac was coming back.
Right.
When they left the donkeys there with the servants, he said, I and the lad will come yonder, we'll go yonder and worship and come again.
Yeah, we're going to
return. Abraham knew that. God's promise was true, and it's somehow that Isaac was coming back.
Right.
You want to know what Abraham thought?
Yeah.
He thought he was going to take Isaac's life.
Yeah.
He was going to burn him there. And that God was going to raise him up from the ashes. And that Isaac was coming back. That's the only way he could imagine.
Faith.
That's what he thought was going to happen. But that's not what the Lord had in store, is it? No, right as Abraham was ready to slay, the angel of the Lord said, lay not thy hand upon the lad. And Abraham looked up and he saw the ram with the horns caught in the thicket there. Oh, I think about that lots of times. You see, the Lord had sent him there. And Abraham, what Abraham thought he was going to see was the dying of Isaac
and the rising of Isaac, and that he was going to see the resurrection of the Son of God in a type and shadow. But that's not what the Lord had in store. What he saw was Isaac, his son, come off the altar, and the ram that was supplied, the picture of Jesus Christ,
went
on to the altar in the room instead of Isaac there.
Yeah.
And that's what happened about 2,500 years later.
Isn't that so?
Right outside Jerusalem on the hill when the Son of God was crucified.
Amen. Right.
You see, Isaac, Abraham's son, was delivered, but there was no one to deliver the Son of God.
Exactly.
And yet, he arose from the grave.
Yeah, he did.
3 days and three nights later. That's the kind of faith that dwells in you. And I trust and pray that we'll take advantage of it as we pass through this life and be delivered from many of the pitfalls that we would have fallen into without God's guidance. That faith is not of yourselves. That's something that God has given you in the new birth. That ever-abiding understanding that he is there, that he's your God, and that he loves you. It's the gift of God. It's not of works, not something we can conjure up, lest any man should boast or glory in it. It says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works.
There you go.
We are what? His workmanship. Created in Christ unto good works that we should walk in them. Why? That we don't bring reproach upon our Lord and Savior's name.
Right.
That we may manifest to the world, specifically those of God's children that are in the world, the righteousness of God that's in us. That they might glorify the one true and living God, which God hath before ordained, set apart, that we should walk in them. There is a straight and narrow pathway for us to walk in. It's not going to get you heaven. But it will, as Brother Gary made mention before, if we seek, we'll find.
Right.
If we ask, we shall receive. If we look for, if we knock, the Lord's coming and supping with us.
Absolutely.
We don't always get that like we think it should come.
No.
But the Lord's blessings upon us are so much greater than anything that we could ever think or ask of ourselves. May the Lord bless you and keep you.
Amen, brother.
Amen.
When we've been there 10,000 years, Christ shining as the sun, we know that it's to sing.
It's good to see you all. We would ask an interest in your prayers just for a few moments as we stand before you. Brother Force, I have surely enjoyed your preaching. And if I were to say I had the same thing on my mind, I do.
That's good.
You know, the I just want to read something real quick in your hearing. 53rd Psalm, just a couple of verses.
There you go.
And I would ask you, interest in your prayers if I didn't say that already. The fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. Corrupt are they, and have done abominable iniquity. There is none that doeth good. God looked down from the heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand, that did seek God. Every one of them is gone back. They are all together become filthy. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. You know, talking about all of us there. But you know, I just want to share a quick thought with you. Something that I experienced a couple of days ago. But before I do that, I want to read a couple of verses from Ephesians 1. It says, starting at verse 3, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself."
Amen.
"According to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved." You know, we think about that, and the experience I had, I was watching a newscast, and they were interviewing this guy who said he didn't understand death. And as it goes on, he felt that man should be able to control death. In other words, die when he wants and in what manner he wants to die. And then he gets to the point where he says he don't believe in God. And I thought about that, and I thought about how blessed a little child of grace is when they are blessed with an understanding as to what we have been delivered from. You see, because he's just like he's just like what we read about in Psalm 53. We all were that way by nature. But you know, sometimes we hear the gospel and we know our own experiences. But sometimes when we're blessed to see play out in real time in front of you, you just marvel at the goodness of God, that as corrupt as we were, I mean, because he's the guy I'm talking about that I heard, he's no different. whether he will be like the thief on the cross, and before he leaves this time world, that he will look up and praise God, or whether he will be like the rich man in Lazarus and suffer that fate, God knows. But the truth of the matter is that we all were due to suffer that fate. We all were lacked understanding. We all lacked the desire. And we all lacked anything that pertain to the Lord our God. But because of his good pleasure, and of his good will, that he purposed that he would have a people. And when we think about life without that, there is no life without that. When I heard him say what he said, I mean, as foolish as that sound, that is our nature. We are that pride. We're that pride that man has, that we have within ourselves, that thinks that we should be able to control life itself. That we have the power and authority to intercede in our destiny to the extent that if I don't want to suffer, I'm just going to end my life here. I'm going to end it the way I want to end it. I'm going to end it in a way that's pleasing to me. Without any thought as to there being a life after this life. You see, brethren, to have the hope of eternal life, which we have been given in that new birth, to have that hope, brethren, it is such a great blessing for God's little children that as we journey in this world below, and all of that we are suffered to see, and all of the trials that we're suffered to go through, to realize that it is but a vapor, that our lives here is but a vapor. And while the fool might think that there is no God, and may think that they can control death, that they have the authority and control over that, we understand how foolish that thought is. There is one giver of life.
Amen.
And there's only one who's going to take it. And to think that I can somehow control when all of this happens, and that I don't understand why we need to die anyway, is basically what he said. That kind of thinking, you know, we read about it in Scripture.
Yeah.
you never really think about encountering that, you know, in your workplace or anywhere else that you're sitting there talking to somebody and they're talking like that. But yet, we could have easily been that person.
Absolutely.
That was saying those things if it wasn't from the grace of God.
Amen.
Who has quickened us and brought us out of nature's darkness into his marvelous light.
Amen.
And has blessed us with an understanding and given us a hope.
That's right.
A hope of eternal life.
Yes.
Which is grounded in nothing that we would do, but in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And to realize that it is he who have chosen us.
Right.
It's not about what me and the Lord did. But to realize that I was out there, had no desire to know God, had no understanding as to who he was. Being in this world without any hope whatsoever, and being alien from the things of God, to be blessed with the understanding that in spite of me, in spite of us, that the love of God trumps all of us. That his love and his greatness is more than these old carnal minds could ever begin to comprehend or to contemplate the goodness of the Lord our God. That's the guy who loves us. Man, in spite of us. In spite of us playing the role of a fool, he loved us. And chose you and chose me and chose all of those that he gave to the Son in the covenant of grace before time was.
Amen.
Man, that just blows your mind.
Amen.
It just blows your mind. When I looked at, I mean, I had to turn it off. I mean, I said, man, this is just too much.
Yeah.
This is just too much. But when I turned it off, I said, that could have been me. That could have been me or you or any of us with that mindset and that lack of understanding and without any hope whatsoever. Praise be to God for the hope that he has given us.
Amen.
Praise be to God for you all.
Amen.
And for the church of the Lord Jesus Christ,
amen.
That we can come out of this troubled world and have a respite at the feet of Jesus just for a few moments.
That's right.
And to hear that good news. You know, I thought about how can people listen to this? I mean, it just boggled my mind. I pity some of God's children who have jobs that they're suffered to listen to this stuff, every day. My first question, why would you want to interview this guy anyway? I mean, and he speaks like he has some kind of authority.
Yeah.
When he doesn't know anything at all. He's just as blind as a bat. He's so steeped in the darkness, there is no light there. But yet, there's a God in heaven. And there is the light who came in to light every man.
Amen.
That God gave him.
Right.
So you see, there's still hope for him. He's still breathing.
Sure.
He still has natural life. And who knows?
Exactly.
Who knows? Well, there is one who knows.
Amen.
There's two who knows. There's three. The triune God. The Father who giveth to the Son. The Son who went to Calvary's cross to die for. The Son who will raise them all up to the glory of the Father on that day. Blessed be his name.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Hello, my dear brother. I appreciate that so much. Thank God. Someone have a number?
Three